go to Ezra, the book of Ezra. We finished up our study out of Mark, and before I start a new series, we're going to take a Wednesday night, and I'm going to teach on this subject, preparing for revival, preparing for revival. Of course, we're excited. We've been in preparation, prayer, and looking forward to our fall revival for some time, kept it in front of the church and been announcing it, and of course, had the cards and did everything that we can do. And sometimes we think that, well, that's what we do. We advertise it and we pass out cards and we invite folks. Now we're ready for revival. Well, that's part of it. But let's take a, maybe a Wednesday night and say, hey, am I ready for revival? And so we're going to, I think, use this that will hopefully be a help to you tonight. Ezra chapter 7, look at verse number 8. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Ezra chapter 7, verse 8. He came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel the statutes. Heavenly Father, Lord, use this time, dear God, as a time of heart preparation. Lord, we want you to meet with us. These revival meetings are so important, Lord, what it does for us individually, what it does for us as a church family. And so, Lord, we ask, dear God, when we show up on Sunday, we'll be ready, we'll be prepared. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Very interesting, the wording at the end of verse number 9, and then going into verse number 10, something is said about Ezra that, oh, I hope that each and every one of us would be able to say. Think about this. It says that the good hand of his God was upon him. I'm going to tell you something. I just like that phrase. I do. I want that in my life. I want the good hand of the Lord to be upon me. You know what? Sometimes I'll see somebody or meet somebody, and I'm out in a meeting, and maybe it's a preacher, and I'll say, boy, God's hands on him. Maybe I'll just have to take a few minutes to talk to a young person somewhere, and I'll walk away thinking, man, God's hands on that young person. You know, I sense that in Brother James Young and his wife and his family. I just think God's hands is on them. And folks, listen, that's a good place to get. Brother Joe, thank you for praying. I listened to him pray, and I thought, man, that guy prays like a preacher. I couldn't tell if he was preaching or praying for a minute there. You know what? God's hand's coming on him and other ones of our young people, and it's just so amazing to watch God's good hand. Listen, that ought to be there. We ought to want to live there. This isn't just a verse for preachers. This is a verse for Christians. It's a verse for all of us. You say, preacher, why was that? And interesting, it says, the good hand of his God was upon him. And then verse 10. She said, I'm going to tell you why. And that makes me feel good because God didn't just play favorites here. You know what he said? He's saying, I'm not a respectful person. If you do what Ezra will do, you can experience God's good hand on you also. Well, let's find out what that is. Boy, notice the word prepared here. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Well, that's a good three-point outline right there. That a preach right there. You know what he did? First of all, he said, I'm going to seek the law of the Lord. I'm going to prepare my heart to seek the law of the Lord. I'm not just going to casually read this book. I'm going to dig into it. I'm going to study to show myself approved. I'm going to read it and read it till something starts burning inside of me. I'm going to read it till I hear the voice of God. I'm going to seek to know what God says. And then once I know what God says, it says, and to do it. So again, folks, listen, it's good to know the Bible. It's better to obey the Bible. I've often said, God is not impressed by how much Bible you know. He's impressed by how much Bible you live. And Ezra said, I'm not going to learn the Bible so I can walk around acting like some spiritual or religious person, or to intimidate others who don't have the same level of knowledge that I have. He said, no, that's not why I'm learning it. It has nothing to do with it. He said, well, I want to know what it says
so I know how to live. And if I see a thou shalt, then you know what? I'm going to do it and shout. How about that? If I see a thou shalt not, I'm going to go the other way. I want my life to line up with the word of God. Now, if that gets in your heart, young people, I mean it. When you get to the point where this isn't just something that you're carrying back and forth to Sunday school, but this book becomes something that just grabs a hold of your heart and won't let go, and you hunger for it, and you thirst for it, and you spend time in it. And you know what? Not just to know it, but I want to do the will of God. I want to live out the word of God. When you get to that place, I'm going to tell you something. God's good hand starts coming down towards you. You know why? Because he can use somebody who knows the Bible. He can use somebody who lives the Bible to have an influence on other people. And that's where the verse ends up. He said, you know what? I want to learn it and I want to live it. And if I learn it and I live it, then I'll be in a position to help other people to learn it and to live it. And God said, that's the guy I'm looking for. That's the young lady I'm looking for. God's good hand comes upon those men and women, young people, and it still happens today. Well, he prepared his heart. He prepared his heart. Folks, preparation is important because Ezra prepared his heart to do the right thing. Somewhere during the revival service, you know what I'd like to feel? I'd like to feel God's hand come down upon me. And if I'm going to experience that, I better prepare for it. I better do some preparation. I'm going to teach tonight on preparing for revival, preparing for revival. Let me give you several things that we can do between now and Sunday. Number one, let's pray for the revival. Let's pray for the revival, and let's pray for a revival, all right? My people is still in the Bible. My people. Themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, will heal their land. And we kept it in front of you, and I have no doubt that a great many prayers have already gone up for our revival. But every time I get to this point, the Wednesday before the Sunday, we're going to kick it up. It's time to ramp it up. Come on, it's time to take it to a whole nother level. It's time to pray more, pray longer, pray more often. It's time to get more specific in what we're going to ask God to do. And so as the Spirit of God leads you, pray for the revival service. Pray that God would send revival to your heart. Pray that God would send revival to the hearts of your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'd really like, think about this, folks, a week from tonight, I'd really like during that closing service and as we finish it up, be able to walk out the foyer and just kind of catch eyes with other people and just go, wow, did God do something or what? Did God do something or what? Well, he will, but he won't if we don't ask. You have not because ye. That's right. So let's get to ask. Let's get to ask. Preacher, I have been. Let's take it to a whole other level. I'll join you in that. Number two, praying for revival. Number one, if we're going to prepare for revival. Number one, pray for the revival. Number two, let's prepare for the revivalist. Let's prepare for the revivalist. All right, so we're praying for the revival, but we need to prepare for the revivalist. Now, who is the revivalist? That's the preacher that we're going to bring in. You say, well, he's an evangelist. When you have a revival, you have an evangelist. No, when you have a revival, you have a revivalist. You got a bunch of lost people you're trying to get saved, call it an evangelist. You know, I think terms are important. I think terms mean something. This subject makes people uncomfortable when I talk about it, especially most evangelists. I just assume if they're going to be revivalists and that's all they're going to be, and I'm not saying we don't need them, I just assume they'll change their title. But I think there's a difference between a revivalist and an evangelist. So, you know what? We're praying for revival. I've contacted Brother Hal Hightower. God has used him all over the country to come into churches, and God has used him to spark revival. That's the man of God. He's going to come with the word of God. Let's pray for him. We already mentioned praying for him. Let's pray for him. I always pray this, and I've started doing this several years ago. I like to pray this prayer. Lord, not only lead Brother Hightower to the messages that we need, but Lord, do something unusual in his life and his heart to prepare him in a unique way for this meeting. For this meeting. I know that that's happened in my life at times as I go to as I'm getting close, and then I'm looking on the calendar, and maybe I've got something coming up. Sometimes God will cause something very unique to happen in my life just before I go preach at a teen camp or a teen conference or a revival meeting. Something that God uniquely does to tenderize my heart or prepare my heart or to heighten the urgency of the hour, an understanding of the urgency of the hour. I don't know what God needs to do, and I don't need to know. I don't even need to know what it is. I'm just asking God to prepare Brother Hightower in an unusual way so that when he comes here, he's extra tender and extra prepared, and there's an extra urgency about the messages that he's going to bring. Pray for his wife, too. I'm going to tell you something. They are a wonderful couple. I appreciate Mrs. Hightower so much. So let's pray for them. But that's not where it stops, folks. If we're going to prepare for our revivalist and his wife, prepare for Pastor and Mrs. Hightower, then I want to prepare to be a blessing. Now, you folks know that this church, corporately, we are going to plan to be a blessing to them. And so I want to challenge you to do beyond that. Well, preacher's going to make sure that somebody gets a fruit basket, and we're gonna bring our love offering. By the way, let me just say this. That's part of being a blessing, okay? And I hope that you'll pray about this. I mean, please, please make it a matter of prayer. You know, I've just proved this in my life so many times. God doesn't leave me in question about when I pray about my giving. He just never leaves me in question about it. You know, if I pray specifically, Lord, now, listen, I know we've got this, Barnabas Sunday coming up. I've been praying about it. And a few weeks ago, I hadn't heard the clear voice of God on it. Well, this week, God just came and settled it in my heart. I know what I'm supposed to give, you know. And you know what I found out? Whatever God tells me to give, if I throw a little extra on top of it, he's never got mad at me. He has never one time got mad at me for doing that. And so I don't think he looks at that as an act of disobedience if I just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give what you said, but I want to just give a little extra because I just want to stay tender to this matter of giving. So I'll give what he says and I'll give a little extra. But you know, folks, it's the same way on a revival meeting. How many can, right now, you say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. In the past, you've asked us to pray about a special speaker coming in. And you know what? I bowed my head and I said, Lord, just guide me specifically. I want to be a blessing and help. And if you'll do that, God will tell you. He'll tell you very specifically. Now, let me tell you why that's exciting to me. I want to have that kind of communication level with the Lord. I want God to hear God's voice that specifically in my life. That's important to me. If you say, well, preacher, I've prayed about it and I don't hear anything. Well, maybe you need to figure that out because what's going on? What's standing between you and the Lord? Why aren't you hearing God's clear voice, clear leading in your life? And you know what? Maybe what God wants you to do is come to the revival meeting and give the most important thing, and that's yourself back to him. Get things back to where you can hear his clear voice. But I think if you'll pray about this, and you know what? Where we don't get up here and make a big deal about things. And you know what? I haven't said hardly anything about the raising money for the church plan all summer long. I mean, I've never hardly said anything, and yet our people, I've shared that with Paul Chapman. I actually shared it with the preachers in testimony, because what they're trying to do out there is exactly what we're trying to do in southern Indiana. And to just be able to see that once a church gets it, once they get a heart for it, you know what, it's not like you have to force anything. It's just God puts it together in such an amazing way. You know, for the last 2 or 3 years, Brother James, before you came and had that meeting with me, you know, I had been in my church going, preacher, Brother Reiser's up and running. What do you think? Where are we going? Where are we going? What are we doing? What are we doing? I love that. I don't mean one, two, or three. I mean multiple people asking, where can I start praying? Do you have a location? You know what I said? I said, listen, I'm not so much worried about where as I am who right now. If you want to pray about something, pray that God sends the right man. And just within a short amount of time after that, you know, God spoke through your heart. God put this thing together. And then through him, where God was leading him, we were directed to the where. Even though that was on my top, that was one of the towns in my top threes, okay? And so we saw God's hand in it. And now, you know, folks, can I say this? I want you to understand. I want you to hear this. We've grown as a church when it comes to having a heart for church planting.
than we were, from where we were when I met with the men the first time and said, there's a building over here in Bloomfield, and I want to ask you guys to pray about something. And I love that. I love when a church is growing spiritually and tender in areas, and it's not leadership saying, come on, we got to do this, but it's fellowship saying, when are we going to do the next one? You know, I told the story of one of the stories I told there was talking about how we started teen sewing here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And, you know, I knew that to start our kids out with a weekly sewing program was probably going to be much, because so many of them, we had to train, we had to teach, so we started doing monthly sewing blitzes, and of course taught the sewing program, and we did this once a month, and we began to see people saved and begin to see results from it. And then it wasn't for about 3 months in, I've got several of the teens, and many of you adults were teens and you remember this, but you know what, pretty soon it was teenagers saying, Brother Jerry, I got an idea. What's the idea? Yeah, I mean, God's blessing this thing. Why are we only doing it once a month? And I went, I never thought of that. That is a really good idea. Maybe we ought to start praying that we do this every week. And you know what? That's what, as a leader, that's what you want to see. You want to see that they're catching a vision. They're catching a burden. They're getting this. And just thank you for that, folks. But we want to be a blessing. I kind of went off on a rabbit trail. We want to be a blessing. So let's be generous to them. And I want to say to every family, and I want to say to every young person, think about this. You know what? If you'd pray between now and Sunday, and you'd say, Lord, how can I be a blessing to Mrs. Hightower? How about some of you young ladies? How can I be a blessing to Mrs. Hightower? How about some of you ladies? How could I be a blessing to her? And I'm, listen, give me some ideas. No, why don't you listen to the Spirit of God? Why don't you pray over it? How could I be a blessing to her? By the way, you don't have to spend a lot of money. I'm going to tell you something. There isn't anything more wonderful in the world than just a small child walking up to a guest preacher with a piece of crumbled paper in their hand that they and handed it to him, and just standing there waiting to see him read it, you know. I mean, there's so many ways we can be a blessing. I pray that every family would say, Lord, just show me something that I can do. Just maybe it doesn't have to be big. Something I can do, something I could do for her, something I could hand to her, something I could write for her. Just whatever the Lord were, listen, let's prepare our hearts to be a blessing. Prepare to be an encouragement. And let's say this, if we're going to be a blessing, let's prepare to be responsive to his messages, both in word and heart. Okay, both in word and heart. Every once in a while, your preacher comes up, hits this, and you know what? It's good that I hit it. Because folks, our tendency is to just get quieter and quieter and quieter. And then part of leadership is to say, hey, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, what's going on? Come on, we've lost our amens. Come on, let's speak up, gentlemen. Come on, man. Let's lead the path. Let's do this. I don't want Brother Hightower up here preaching and plowing with no encouragement. I mean, you know what? Saying amen to a revivalist is saying, it's like saying sick him to a pit bull, man. All right. So just, you know what? Just encourage him. Be responsive. Let's amen him. Let's back him up. Let's help him preach. Let's help him preach. But we don't want to just be responsive in word. We want to be responsive in heart. And also to be open to whatever the Lord would want us to do with each message that is preached. Lord, what do you want me to do with this? What do I need to change? How can I improve? What do I need to do that I'm not? What do I need to stop that I am? Lord, sometimes just what attitude, adjustment my attitude or my outlook or my thinking. And folks, so many times, you know, we look for these, you know, handful of big decisions. So many times it is a subtle thing that God uses a message to do that just shifts up for us from being a little off course back onto course. Can I get an amen there? And, you know, sometimes it's not earth shattering. But I'm telling you, if you are this far, this is the course and you're here and you don't get shifted, pretty soon you're here, and pretty soon you're here, and pretty soon you're here. So I'd rather God fix me here. It's a lot easier to turn the ship this much. Come on, in the Navy, it's a lot easier to turn it this much than to have to turn it this much. And so let's just let the Holy Spirit get a hold of the rudder of our lives and just turn the boat wherever he needs it to go. So we're praying for revival. We're preparing for the revivalist. And then let's do this. Let's commit to the process. What does that mean? Folks, the process of revival is Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Let's settle in. Let's get it all. Let's not miss a message. Let's just park ourselves under the preaching. And we want to have revival music. We want to have revival spirit. Listen, folks, we want to commit ourselves to the process by being a part of it, okay? All right, we don't have a problem here, but a lot of preachers I'm talking to have a problem. So let me get ahead of it so we don't have a problem. As I've been traveling, I've talked to a lot of preachers in the last 11 days, folks, a lot of them. And their first question is, do you have a good number of your people back? I said, we've got all of them back. And we've got a few that are sick that can't come. And they said, they're telling me, I just got a portion of my church that just got used to sitting home and watching it on live stream. And it's like, it's easier now, even my core people to miss when they aren't there on the Sunday night. They'll say, hey, so such and such came up. We weren't able to get there, but preacher, we watched it on live stream. Now, folks, listen to me. Sitting at home watching the service on a TV is not assembling together. It's not church. It's not church. It's not church. Well, I sat on my couch, so I went to church. You didn't go anywhere. You sat on your couch. Okay? And so thank you that I haven't had to fight that battle. I mean it. After listening to everybody else, I came back so encouraged. They said, thank you, Lord. Some of them's got 25, 30% of their congregation. I finally said, well, is this your older folk? No, my older folks are all back. Are you listening, young people? He said, it's just the younger ones that have just gotten used to it. You know, they just take a weekend trip. But don't worry, we stopped, playing on the Lord's Day long enough to plop down on the couch and watch it on the computer. You didn't go to church. You skipped church. You skipped church. And so let's not go soft. And again, and I know I'm preaching to the choir but I'm just thinking if that's crept in other good churches, let me get ahead of that thing. Let me say it out loud. I know you believe it, but don't let anybody talk you out of it, okay? Let's make sure that we commit to the process of revival. That means in body, we show up, okay? And then we prepare for revival by praying, by preparing for the revivals, by committing to the process. Let me give you a quick thing on the heart. Preparing our hearts for revival. The last thing, we got to prepare our hearts. Now, this is where it happens. This is what God's after. And so here it is Wednesday, and we've got a few days before Sunday. And so, preacher, I want to come with my heart prepared for revival. Okay, let's come with a clean heart. Let's come with a clean heart. This is a precious verse in my life, and God uses it. And again, if you'll pray it, God will be specific. If you will be honest, He'll be specific. How about this? Search me, O God, and know my what? My heart. Try me, know my. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Again, folks, you know what? Sometimes it's just, I'm here. I'm just off. Okay, my mind in some areas is not where it should be. Watch this. My heart is not where it should be. Now, folks, let me just tell you, there's two different types of camps that I go to and preach. I've had two different types of camp weeks that I've preached. Sometimes I'll get a bunch of churches coming in, and you can tell they're dragging in. Their teams have not been prepared. They are not ready for camp. They are dirty. They are carrying a bunch of baggage. And by the way, if that's the kind of week we need to have, then hey, let's just have it. And let's just preach on sin, and let's just get this thing clean, and let's fix our hearts and our attitudes. And you know what? Sometimes that's what the meeting needs to be. But boy, there's a handful of camps, Brother Roger, through the years, that I've been able to just show up. And you can tell those teams came prepared. Their pastor helped get them ready. Their youth pastor helped get them ready. They've been praying for weeks for the camp. They've come in with their hearts, for the most part, where it needs to be, and their minds where they need to be. And instead of me spending the first 2 or 3 days of the camp, of a 4-day camp or 5-day camp, just trying to get us clean enough where we can start hearing God, we can start out Monday night hearing God. We can, listen, we don't have to deal with a bunch of, come on, entry level, carnal, worldly, spend 3 days digging all of that out so that maybe we can go to the next level and deal with some spiritual things. Hey, can I ask you, let's not do that to Brother Hightower. I'll tell you, the best weeks of camp I've ever had is when I walk in and listen, I'm telling you as a preacher, I know. I can tell during the song service. I can tell in the process of preaching the first opening message pretty much what I'm going to have to deal with that week. And so, you know what? You can't control everybody around you, but you got to take personal, come on, custodial care of your heart, personal responsibility for your state of mind, your heart. So, hey, let's get real. Let's be really super honest with the Lord over the course of the next few days. I said, let's ramp up this praying in the next few days. But a lot of that prayer ought to be times where we just get quiet before the Lord and let him shine the spotlight and say, Lord, I don't want to bring that kind of a mindset and a heart condition into what ought to be a revival service. Remember, folks, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 was written to a church where they were commanded to quench not the Spirit. Now think about this. If we came in on Sunday and Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with a spirit of excitement and energy and eagerness, expectation, you know what? Or we can come in, listen, in spirit of gloom and tiredness and resentment, come on, in our hearts. Well, I'm here. Hope he's happy because I came. Aren't you a blessing? Thank you for bringing that spirit in. Well, then I just will stay home. Or, let me give you another option. Or, you could do what I'm saying right now. And that's take care of that business between now and Sunday. Just get that right. Brother, I've never in my life felt like revival was something I had to go to. I always felt like it was something I got to go to. I can't wait. I mean it. I need it. I want it. I've been prepping for it. I'm going to have my heart prepared. You know why? I want the good hand of God to come upon me. I want the good hand of God to come upon me. And so I mentioned that idea of expectation. So number one, let's come with a clean heart. Number two, let's come with an expectant heart, an expectant heart. Now, I want to tell you, this is one of the, I think, ways to see unusual things in your Christian life and experience success and victory in your Christian life. I love what the book of James says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So he said, hey, now we're talking about praying for wisdom. But he said, let me give you a general umbrella principle. Because he then says anything from the Lord. So he's broadened it past just wisdom. And he says, now, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but don't waste your time if you don't believe that God's going to give it to you. Now, folks, you know what that is? That's praying with the spirit of expectation,
right,
of belief, of faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Now, folks, I mean, I take this into my everyday life, my everyday activities. You know, I don't see somebody saved every time I go soul winning, but I expect to see someone saved every time I go soul winning. And I feel genuine disappointment if it didn't happen because I really thought it was going to happen today. You know what? I've killed a lot of deer. Brother Val, I've never gone out into the deer stand and said, I don't even know why I'm going to go in this hunt tonight because I'm not going to see anything and I'm not going to shoot something. Every time I leave, I told my wife, you know what? I think this is the evening. I mean, look at the weather. Look at the wind. This is the night. When I go fishing, I expect to catch fish. I expect to, you know what? And I've got a whole tackle box full of different things I'm going to try until I figure it out. But sooner or later, I'm going to feel that fish hit that lure, and I'm going to pull it in, and I'm not going to be shocked when it happens. That's called a spirit of faith, belief, expectation. Say, preacher, will you be surprised if revival comes? No, I'm expecting revival to come. I want God to hear my prayers and look then past my prayer into my heart and see that it's coming from a heart of faith. I want him to look into my mind and not see double-mindedness. The following verses talk about the danger of being double-minded. You pray for something, but you pray with your mouth, but you don't believe it in your heart. And you know what? God can see both. He hears the words and sees the heart. I want him to hear the words, and I want him to look and say, he's not only asking this, he's expecting it to happen. He's expecting it to happen. And so I want you to come with a heart an expectant heart. So a clean heart, an expectant heart. Let's come with an open heart. Just an open heart. Yeah, preacher, I think that what I need in revival is this. Well, you know what? God may have already told you, you know, you kind of need this. But a lot of times I'll come thinking I know what I need and then not even be aware of what God's going to do. So I just want to open my heart. I don't want to come in saying, well, Lord, I think what I'm looking for is this. I just say, what I'm looking for is you and whatever you want to do in my life. And the Lord will a lot of times surprise me. If you come with a heart that's open, just Lord, whatever area, something I'm not thinking of, something I couldn't see or imagine. Over the course of this meeting, just Lord, surprise me with something. I mean, deal with me in an area I didn't even think about, or give me a fresh vision of something that I've never even considered, or challenge me to do something that I wouldn't have even thought of at the beginning of the revival meeting. When you just come in with an open heart, you know what? The Lord will do some great things for you. Be open to God doing something, here's the word, unusual in your heart. Come with an open heart. Don't come with a closed heart. Jim Delesmith. Oh, I miss Jim Delesmith. I love Jim Delesmith. That old leader of the St. Louis chapter of the Hells Angels, who had a praying mama that wouldn't quit praying until that boy got saved. Came and sat on the back row because his mama tricked him into coming to church. And so you know what he did? He smoked weed and drank beer and greased his beard and twisted it up. He tells the story. If you've ever seen him tell the story, he said, I had this grease that I put in my beard and I'd go like this and I'd go like this and I'd get it. And then I'd get it where it pointed straight up like this. And he walked and stuck this far off of his face, pointing up in the air. Come in and sat on the back row of the church. And he said, man, I thought I was having an LSD trip. He said, that preacher would preach, and every time he'd point, it's like his finger came all the way back and punched me in the nose. And he fell under Holy Spirit conviction and got saved. Amen. God used him in a great way for many years. God just amazing man. He tells the story about going and preaching a revival meeting. He said there was a lady that came in. He's a storyteller. He could tell the story. I'll give you the short version. But a rather wealthy lady come in, dressed to the T's, you know, fancy hat on. He tells about this feather that was in her hat. And as she walked, the feather would bounce. And he said, here I am just being me preaching away. And you can tell she's not liking any of it. So when the service is over, he goes back and stands at the back door to greet. And here she came and he held out his hand. She looked at it, just looked at his hand as if it was something contaminated and diseased, and said, Mr. Delesmith, I'll have you know something. You did not fill my cup. And then he said she turned and her feather went by my face and she went on out the door. And he said, I sat there thinking, oh my goodness. He said, thank God for a preacher's wife. Thank God for a good wife. He said, my wife leaned over and said, honey, don't worry. You didn't fill her cup because she came in with it upside down. Well, you know what? You take your coffee cup tomorrow. Come on and turn it upside down and get the whole pot of coffee and just pour away and pour away and pour away. When you spill it all over everywhere, flip the cup over and see if there's even a drop in that cup. Now, a lot of times, folks, you know what? I'm tired of hearing this from a bunch of sorry backsliders. Well, I left that church because I wasn't getting fed. Well, if you flip your cup over, you would have got fed. And you know what? We can get to the point where, hey, if Jesus can show up at Nazareth and can do no great works because of their unbelief, don't tell me that we aren't part of the process. And so you know what I want to do? I want to make sure come Sunday I got my cup right side. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it up to overflowing. Fill it up to overflowing. Fill it up till I can hold no more. So let's come with an open heart. And then I'll give you this last thought. Let's come with another heart. What do you mean another heart? Hey, let's just bring somebody with us. Let's bring somebody. Come on, folks. This is what Baptist people always used to do. You know why Blessed Old Baptist Church exists as far as from an earthly standpoint? Because a next door neighbor invited a neighbor to come to revival meeting. Revival is important to me because my daddy was saved on the last night of a revival meeting. You know why he was there? He was there because somebody kept coming across the street and talking about this revival meeting. Can you come to revival meeting? Can you come to revival meeting? He said, I'll come one night, Monday night. God got a hold of his heart. Next night, we came two nights. He came Wednesday night, came Thursday night, left. Told God, if you'll let me walk in the door on Friday, I'll get saved. God spared his life, let him get back to that church, person of the invitation. There he went. You know why Bob Ross received Christ? Because Jerry Purcell decided, I'm going to invite someone to revival meeting, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to beg God, and I don't want to walk in without anybody else. So, Lord, as I bring my heart and ask you to change it, Lord, I want to bring another heart with me, set in the pew beside me, because while you're fixing me, maybe you can fix them too. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done throughout the history of the local New Testament church through these type of meetings. And Lord, we're looking forward to it. Brother Hightower's come before. He's a known commodity. You've used him in a great way here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, I believe with all of my heart, I know the character of the man. I believe that he'll come prepared. So the preacher will be prepared. So we need to be prepared. So Lord, each of us, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Starting tonight during our prayer time and then carrying over until tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. And Lord, we had a whole lot of prayer requests. There's things going on in a lot of people's lives. There's things going on in our family's life. And Lord, that doesn't surprise me. A lot of times it just seems like that's the way it is. Plan a revival, plan something special. Next thing you know, if we're not careful, the individual burdens of life or the individual concerns can become so much more important than what you want to do on an eternal level in our hearts and souls. So, Lord, I pray that each of these people that we pray for in a very wonderful way, sincere way, sweet way, that you'll come to their aid. It's not that we are not concerned, and it's not that we will ever stop praying. But, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we won't selfishly hold on to our own personal concerns and just ignore what you want to do next week in our church's heart. So help us to break through that selfishness. Help us to lay some of those things, casting our cares upon you, for you care for us. Help us not to use these things as an excuse not to be at revival, but may we feel a higher sense of urgency to be revived because of so many things going on. Use these things in our heart, we pray in Jesus' name.